Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents Nick and Cecil. Here's former Bronco Nick Ferguson and DenverFan.com's Cecil Lammy.
What's going on, buddy? Because you go 7-1 in game one, right? You're like, okay, that's an anomaly. Vegas is worn out from that series with Minnesota. 3-2 Avs win, 2-0. You're like, all right, let's go Avs. And then 3-2 Vegas wins. You're like, all right, they got one. And then they go 5-1 in game four, series tied at 2-2. And I've noticed in our little graphic that we put up at DenverFan.com, Nick, you haven't picked the Avs over the last two games, and, well, they haven't won. What's going on?
Well, Cecil, I look at it this way. I'm not trying to be a homer. I just look at it from a strategic standpoint. All season long, these, you know, it was eight games between the Avs and the Knights. They split the series 4-4. The Avs took the first game because Robin Leonard was between the posts. And I knew that once Marc-Andre Fleury came back, that was going to change. And you saw how having him on the ice, it changes things drastically. And hey, listen, Peter DeBoer said, you know, after the first game, he said, look, did we roll the dice kind of putting, you know, Lanier out there? Yeah. But we know that's kind of an aberration because we know we can play with the Avs. And looking at the game, you know, that took place yesterday, it almost looked like two different teams. You know, the Knights weren't constantly on the attack. The Avs, it just seemed like they were playing slow, kind of a slow motion type of game. So I told KB over the weekend, that is why I chose the Knights, because I know these teams are evenly matched, but I knew that the Knights play great hockey on their home ice.
Well, let's see if the Avs can turn it around, and let's go to that Johnson Auto Plaza hotline to talk to Jason Strudwick, former NHL defenseman and host on TSN 1260. Jason, I'm going to start with the same question I started with Nick. What's happened in this series with Vegas and Colorado where now Vegas got two in a row? How do the Avalanche turn things around?
Well, this is classic playoff hockey, right? I mean, when you have seven games, there's always the matchups, and then you figure out what went well and what went, you know, poorly, then you have to counterpunch. So, you know, the first game, I mean, I think, quite frankly, the first 4.5 periods, Colorado had their way with Vegas. Maybe right. Vegas was tired, you know, maybe they didn't know exactly how to play with them. And then they slowly made some adjustments. And then the biggest adjustment I've seen that Vegas has done is really kind of taken away the ability of transition for the Avalanche defense. So guys like Cale Makar, Sammy Girard, these guys, they really love getting up in the play. They're quick, they're good skaters, and they really have good puck skills. So what they're doing is that, you know, previous the first, whatever I said, 4 or 5 periods, those guys were jumping up all the time. Now what they're doing in Vegas is taking really good angles to make it difficult for those guys either A, to skate the puck up, or B, forcing them to pass the puck. And when you pass it, maybe you lose a little bit of momentum to jump up in that play. So what was maybe, you know, in previous games or when Colorado was playing well, is that a 3-on-2 with a defenseman making it the third guy, it now becomes a 2-on-2 or maybe a 3-on-3. So taking away that numerical advantage by not having those D-men jump up so much has been a huge change for Vegas. But now they have to counterpunch. Okay, what do you do to get around that? How do you make that easier? How do you free up those guys to jump in? So, I mean, it would be a great change to see what they can do on game five.
Now, Jason, now the Avs had played with a lot of confidence, especially coming off that Blues series where they just kind of cruised through that series right there. And now it seemed like the advantage now goes to the Knights, who are surging. And as a guy that played in NHL for a lot of years and you play in a lot of tough games, how is it that the Avs go about kind of regaining that mental edge that they once had?
Well, I mean, it can be difficult, but there's so much fluctuation of momentum in a seven-game series. You know, you just think about the course of seven games over 2 weeks, and you can feel good and bad about yourself so many different ways. But for now, they have to remember what they're all about. And their top line is, if not the most dangerous, this, you know, top two most dangerous teams or lines in the league. So these guys, they know they can put points up. I'm looking at Makar. I'm looking at my favorite player in the NHL, Mikko Rantanen, Landeskog. They have to lead. When that line is going, the whole team seems to follow and get going. But I do put pressure on those D-men. You know, I was a D-man. I wasn't quite as good a skater as some of those guys, like I mentioned earlier. But those guys have to get going. And, yeah, they're going to take good angles on you. Well, you have to figure out how to use that. You know, one way that I always found, when a guy is trying to angle me, you skate straight at him. That way, it doesn't let him create an angle. You know, when you allow yourself to, guys come on your left and you kind of go to your right, well, all of a sudden now he's created that angle. What you want to do is go straight at him, so he has to pick a side, then you go the other way. You know, it sounds easy, but it's difficult when everyone's flying around and trying to run you over. But, you know, the Avs can do it. That first line is so emotional. They can do it, but they have to show up. Vegas's top line's got it going. Their second line is really rocking. The Avs' top guys have to get going, and I promise you, those other guys will follow.
Jason Strudwick, our guest here on the Johnson Auto Plaza Hotline, of course, host on TSN 1260, and also former NHL defenseman. And Jason, you mentioned it to start off your first answer, like this is typical playoff hockey. So what is it about sports hockey specifically where playoff intensity just ramps up? What does that feel like? We get to see it as fans. You got to experience it as a player. What is it about playoff hockey that's so different?
The physicality. You know, you can't play 82 NHL regular season games and run every single guy through the boards and be physical all the time. The body just can't hold up. You know, they can't do it. But when you get into playoffs, the physicality, you're not doing so much to hurt the other guy. You're trying to wear him down, slow him down. And then maybe the one time, if you hit a guy 10 times in a row, let's say over the course of three or four games, maybe that 11th time, He kind of hears footsteps, gets nervous, and he makes a bad play, and it pays dividends. So it's just that idea of wearing guys down. Like if I was playing for Vegas, I'd want to get body on Cale Makar. I want to get bodies on Sammy Girard, Nathan MacKinnon, all their kind of skill guys to slow them down and just wear them down. They might only get tired by 3-4 percentage points, but that's a big difference between, you know, 100% and let's say 94-95. That can be the difference in the game. So that physicality, you look at the hit totals. I mean, some of these nights, the hit totals are off the charts. And it's hard to play, but my God, it's a lot of fun.
So, Jason, the star of game four was Marshall Schultz. And he got the hat trick. And I was watching the game with my son. And my son, you know, he hasn't really seen a lot of hockey games. And I'm not a hockey savant. But he was like, why are they throwing all those hats on the ice? And I had to break it down for him and tell him why. And he was like, well, why can't they stop this guy? So you tell me, if you Jared Bednar, how do you stop Marshall Schultz from getting, you know, shots on goal?
Yeah, so they call him the misfit line, because those are guys who are kind of cast away from their teams when the expansion draft happened a number of years ago for Vegas. And they've all had, you know, really good success with Vegas. What I see those three guys doing is they're really quick and they're smart. And what they don't have to score off the rush. So when you look at some of the goals, let's go back to the first game, Colorado. You know, they scored quite a few goals off the rush. So that's on transition. So you get the puck in your own zone, and 8 seconds later, the puck's in the back of the other team's net. That's off transition. But what that line, the second line that we're talking about with Marcus Stroh and company, they're able to find success, you know, getting the offensive zone in what I call cycling. You know, you're working the puck around and you have a lot of ozone time. And the longer you're in that zone, the defenders get a little bit of happy feet and get nervous, and breakdowns happen. So, you know, maybe I go to the wrong player, or, you know, we both go to the same guy, leaving someone open. And that's what happened to Marcus Stroh's hat trick goal, the third goal. So that's a real advantage, and you got to have that ozone time. And for the Avs, I think they miss Nazem Kadri. I think Kadri's a guy that can do that. You know, he's out now. But when he's able to get back, I think he'll bring a lot of that, just that creating offense, they call it in just below the top of the circles. And I think that's a huge part of what they need to do, and that's what Vegas' second line has really done.
So, Jason, really quick, who wins game five and why?
I expect Avs to come back with a better effort. I think that, you know, it's about momentum. And, you know, Nathan MacKinnon is a force. You know, he's fast, but he's big. And he can go around you or go through. He really doesn't care. He's just trying to get there. So I think, the emotional leader will be there to get it going. I think they might add in Bowen Byram. He's a young defenseman, really agile, and probably a few years behind Cale Makar's development. But I think another agile defenseman that can kind of break down and kind of do what I talked about the D-man doing from Vegas or so for the Avs. So I think we're looking at a 3-2 lead after five games for Avs. But make no mistake about it. I think this bad boy is going to 7.
There it is.
Nice.
It's going to 7. Jason, I mean, as this thing moves forward, man, we definitely have to have you back on to break down the remaining of these games, man. Thanks for your insight. And thank you for giving Nick and Cecil some of your time.
Anytime, guys. Give me a call.
There we have him on that Johnson Auto Plaza hotline. Jason Strudwick, host of TSN 1260. Yeah, this thing's going 7. Things about to get awfully, awfully physical, Nick.
Oh, no, without a doubt. And here's what I wanted to show you, Sisu, as I was watching the games this week. I started watching and writing things down as though I would do during the
Broncos game. Were you charting plays?
Well, not so much charting plays, just looking at, you know, plays that both coaches were calling that seemed to be successful for each side. And we can get into it later on, but there's a lot of glaring things that we can just take a look at when it comes to these two teams as far as what they do well and what they don't.
Okay, close games between the Suns and the Nuggets. Foreshadow playoff drama. We foreshadow that next.